Please open your Bibles to 1 Corinthians chapter 12 this morning. I normally am preaching in the book of John. We're in chapter 12 of that. I did that in Sunday school because I felt like this was fitting for the whole church, so I just swapped them. And if you didn't get to hear the John message, please know that it's on the internet, or will be, about 2 o'clock this afternoon, and you're welcome to listen to that. Stay caught up as to what's happening there. But for this morning, 1 Corinthians chapter 12, title of my message is Help Wanted. And what kind of help? Well, all kinds of help we want to talk about. Imagine a man who's struggling to find his place in life, and he keeps moving from one job to the next. His great uncle dies and leaves him a very lucrative courier business, delivering things. It comes with the vehicles, the drivers, an office building, staff, and everything that he needs to run the business. And everything's running smoothly, even when he receives it, though his uncle is gone. The man thinks for a few minutes to himself, and he decides, no, I'd rather be a helper to collect the government census. What? What? You might question his sanity to turn down such an offer, such a gift, a blessing as this. While in terms of serving our Lord, some of us may be just like that, turning down opportunities that could be ours to serve God Almighty, to serve ourselves or others or something, to follow our little fancies wherever they may lead. God has given you, and he's given me, everything that we need to serve him and acquire, in the process, acquiring for ourselves treasures in heaven. He pays well. Payday someday, right? That's payday every day. Really, it is. But he's going to give us all of these treasures for our service to him. But up to now, maybe you're just not interested in that. Now, don't take offense to this, okay? I'm not here to offend you, but to preach the truth. But it's true, isn't it? Some people are not interested. Maybe somebody here is not interested. Not interested in that. We're more like this guy who turns down the work because he's got something he'd rather do. For whatever reasons. One might assume that you don't believe God if that's your position. Maybe you don't believe in God, or you don't believe in eternal treasures, or you don't believe in heaven. Something's wrong here. Something you just don't really understand and don't really believe, or you don't believe that you're intended to serve, perhaps. That might be the ticket for a lot of people. I don't believe it's God hasn't called me to serve. Well, you'd be wrong about that. God has called us all to serve. God has called you to serve. Pastors know that everybody who is called to the church where they preach, and they call it their home, that they should be active rather than passive. They should be part of what's happening at the church, as we say. One preacher said, "Brethren, I tell you the truth, there are no such gifts as pew warming and sermon or music listening. All spiritual gifts are proactive." By that he means you will make something happen. You won't wait for something to happen. In the service of the Lord, we're to be proactive. We're supposed to make things happen. And what if we all did this? What if we all made things happen? What if we were that kind of people, that kind of personality? What if we could make things happen? Well, a lot more would happen, wouldn't it? Because that's not the position of most. And if you tell me that you're sold out to the Lord, but you're not doing anything, then you probably need to explain your definition of sold out. What is consecration? What do you mean you've given your heart to the Lord? What does that mean exactly? There are a lot of things to be done here at Corinth Baptist Church, and we're a small church. We do a lot, though, don't we? I wonder how much more we could do. I wonder how much the Lord wants us to do. What should we be doing right now? And We want the person that God has gifted for every particular task, we want them to be engaged in their task. Do you hear what I said? Gifted. God gifts people to do certain things. We should be able to look at you and know, hey, their gift is so-and-so. They're really good at this. It's their gift, I believe. I believe I know some of your gifts. You may not know how to articulate it. You may not know what it's called, but I can tell you what you could be really good at. Others of you, I'm not as sure, but I could help some with that. I'd be happy to do that. There are a lot of things that that need to be done, and maybe you know what God has empowered you to do, and you're doing it. I'm engaged, but not with your whole heart. You're not doing it like it's that critically important. Is it as important as what you do Monday through Friday? Or do you exercise your gift Monday through Friday? That would be good. Maybe you're busy doing something, but you don't feel plugged into the right place. I'd like to hear about that, because I'd like you to get plugged into the right place. Maybe you're not serving at all and would argue, well, I don't know what my spiritual gift is. I don't know what I should be doing. I'd like for each of us today, all who will, I would like for us to pray. Each of us to ask ourselves the question this morning, first of all, what should I be doing for the Lord? What should I be doing? And then to pray, Lord, if you don't know what that is, pray, Lord, show me what I should do. And empower me to do it. Gift me for what you want me to do, Lord, and help me. Excuse me. Help me, Lord, to do what you give me to do. Help me to do it with my whole heart. I would like for each of us to ask ourselves some questions and then pray about the answers. Pray about the answers. Perhaps a better way to ask the question would be, what has God given me or what has he gifted me to do? Do you know? So I'm not sure I have a gift. Well, the Bible says you do. So you do. If you're a believer, you have something that God wants you to do, and he's given you the ability to do it. He's given you a spiritual gift or a gift of the Spirit. So let's start with this question. This question. What is a spiritual gift? What is it anyway? Someone has defined it as a knack. You have a knack for this. You ever heard that term? A knack for this. If you have a question about horses, who would you ask? Say it. Lisa. Everybody would ask Lisa. If you had a question about emergency medicine, who would you ask? Who else? Alice. She's retired. Ask Sam for her, she says. If you had a question about working at a daycare, who would you ask? Amber does it. If I wanted to know what it was like to work at a daycare, I'd ask Amber, because she does it every day, or almost every day. You would go to somebody who you say has a knack at what you're interested in. They do a particular job. A knack is an acquired or maybe even a natural skill performing a particular task. But a knack is not necessarily a spiritual gift. Okay, that's not the same. It's not a knack. A spiritual gift is knowledge. It's ability to perform a specific task, but it's not natural talent. You weren't necessarily born with it. It's not really acquired wisdom for using it. And it's not even learned. A spiritual gift. You say, well, what is it then? A spiritual gift or a gift of the Spirit is a God-given spiritual empowerment, a spiritually empowered gift to you, enabling you to perform some function in the ministry of Jesus Christ. And if you're saved, you have one. I wish I could make everybody interested in that, because there's joy. As I said in Sunday school, there's joy in serving Jesus. It would be great if we all knew what our gifts were and we were all engaged in those various gifts. In 1 Corinthians chapter 12, there's a list of gifts and some instruction and just some information about spiritual gifts. I'd like for you to look at it with me. We'll not cover it real thoroughly, but let's look at verse 4 first of all. Verse 4 tells us we're all part of the body of Christ, or chapter 12 tells us that. And verse 4 says, but there are diversities of gifts. We all have a gift, and there are diversities of gift, but the same Spirit. So there are many spiritual gifts, but within the category of the spiritual gifts, we'll name 12 of them this morning. Within those categories, there are different ways that they're administered. There are different functions that people engage in using that same general spiritual gift. A lot of variations of the gifts. All of them are given by the same Holy Spirit who indwells every believer. So he gives you the gift and then he empowers you and indwells you to be able to do that. You say, well, I don't feel this. Well, seek it. Desire it. If you're a believer, ask God to help you to discover what you can do for him, because, brothers and sisters, there's not much time left. Even if we live to be old and the Lord tarries, there's not much time left. Life's short. And those of us who are older, life is really short. Not many years from now, we'll be in the presence of the Lord. We need to get busy serving the Lord. If we're going to serve him, it's time to get started. So there are gifts, there are variations of the gifts, and the same Spirit gives all of them, the Holy Spirit of God, and he indwells every believer. And since the Holy Spirit determines what gift you get, since he decides what you get, and he bestows it on you, you should, and I should, not murmur. Murmur because I don't get to do what I want to do. I have to do this, and I want to be that. So we shouldn't murmur because our gift is not as glamorous as someone else's gift. Nor should we be proud of our gift because it's more glamorous than somebody else's. It's more in the limelight. Everybody looks at me. No, that's not something we need to do, because who makes you to differ from somebody else? 1 Corinthians 4:7 says God does. And why should you boast if you were given what you have? If it's a gift, why should you brag? Why should you be proud of it? But pride's some of what we do. That's part of our nature, our old one, pride. Pride comes before a fall. It's destructive. Pride is destructive. But we're all guilty, aren't we? Anybody here proud? Quiet. I am. I'm proud. I fight pride. Strange kind of pride. Strange kind of temptations come at me as a pastor. Pray for me that I'll have victory over my sin. And I'm going to pray for you that you'll have victory over your sin as well. And I imagine, because you're made of the same stuff as me and some of others who raised their hands, you're proud too. In some way. So one gift may be more visible or even seem to us more necessary, more powerful, more effective than somebody else's gift. But whatever the case, there's nothing special about the person who has a gift. It was gifted to them. Who gets the glory? The giver. The giver. God does. Verse 6, 1 Corinthians 12, 6, and there are diversities of operations, but it is the same God which worketh all in all. Variations of each gift based upon the needs of the ministry. Now, we don't have the same ministry they have down in Massachusetts in the city, in Boston. We don't have the same ministry as people out west. We have a different ministry. We're in New England. There are different culture here. But there are different people here. There are different financial structure in our state than in other states. There's all sorts of differences, so it's not the same ministry as others. So God gives us specific gift, gives you and me specific gifts for this ministry, for Corinth Baptist Church. And we're supposed to all work together to accomplish the task that God gives us collectively as a church, as Corinth Baptist Church. Every ministry performed, is for one cause, and that's the cause of Christ. It's what Christ wants us to do. And it's always for the good of the whole body. You're supposed to be working for you people on this side, for the people on this side, and vice versa. Each of us working for others to do good in the body of Christ. Verse 7 says, "But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit with all." It's for everybody's good. Every believer has a gift and should use that gift for the good of all the brethren. To use your gift, if God gave you the gift of, let's say, administration or something else, and you just used it for you, it would be like you're a truck driver and you decide you're going to take the truck home and make a load for yourself. God's given you the truck to use for Him. God's given you your gift to use for Him. It's not for you. It's not for you. It's not about you. Your gift is to be used for Him. Verse 13. "For by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body, whether we be Jew or Gentile, whether we be bond or free, and have been all made to drink into one Spirit." It's not talking about water baptism. It's talking about when you became a Christian, you entered into the body of Christ, you're a believer, and every believer was placed there, baptized into Christ by the Holy Spirit. So it's what God does when you accept Christ. You're baptized into the body of Christ, and you're indwelt by His Holy Spirit. And He's the bestower. The Spirit of God is the bestower of your gift. Your gift. As I look out at our faces, you might think to yourself, "Well, I'm too old for a gift." You're not. You're not. You should be practicing your gift until God takes your last breath away. Practicing your gift. Then we're all working together for the good of the Lord Jesus. The Bible says in verse 14, "For the body is not one member, but many. As with the physical body, the body of Christ is not just one member or one kind of member either, but it's many members and many different kinds of members. The diversity makes it work. That's not hard to prove. We are all interdependent. I can't be every part of the body. I have my gift. You have your gift. We put all of our gifts together and we're one. Well, what if we only have half of the people pitching in and half of the people putting in their gift into the mix so that the body can be fed and be unified and grow and please the Lord? What if only half do that? Then we're half of a body. Diversity makes it work, and every part of the body has to participate because we're interdependent. We need you. Did you hear me? We need you. And the Lord purchased you with His blood to serve Him. Pastor Kirk Romberg writes, "When I was in the fifth grade, our entire fifth grade class at Anderson Elementary School was required to take band. At a certain hour of each day, we would gather into the band room and attempt to play our instruments. We didn't really have a choice as to which instrument we played. The instructor simply assigned us instruments based on what the school had available and what the teacher thought was suitable for most of the children. I was assigned," he says, "a saxophone. And that year, the music instructor had one goal: to help us turn squeaks into notes. I honestly don't know how he survived," he says. "I would go home and with sheet music to practice, and each day we'd gather to play. But when the teacher would raise his baton and motion for us to begin, it sounded like a car accident," he said. We played different tempos. We played different volumes. We played different. We didn't watch the conductor, and we didn't listen to each other. We just played. And yet, in spite of how poorly we played, it was a new experience. And so each one of us got a certain degree of pleasure out of hearing ourselves play. Only I didn't want to hear the people around me, he says. I figured mine was the coolest instrument, and so I played louder so the people around me could hear me. I thought people around me should hear me play, he says. So we had a room full of soloists, he said. It was terrible. Well, this seemed to be what was going on in the Corinthian church in the Bible. They all had their own instruments, but they weren't following the conductor and they weren't playing together. Each one thought his instrument was the coolest and that everyone else should hear him, or that everyone should play the same instrument if they were true members of the orchestra. And it was a room full of soloists and nothing short of a train wreck. And obviously, I'm referring to their spiritual gifts, not musical instruments, he says. Abide in Christ and obey his teaching on loving one another and ministering to one another and reaching out to the world with the gospel, and do so in the power of the Holy Spirit, and your spiritual gift will become self-evident, he says. But the point is, the Holy Spirit expresses himself through each one of us uniquely for the benefit of the whole. And it's like being in an orchestra. So if you're following his little analogy here, being a member of the church is like being in an orchestra, being a member of the body of Christ. When I was in the eighth grade, he said, I was a member of the concert band at Lincoln Middle School. And that year we performed Beethoven's 1812 overture for our end of the year concert. Because of the length of the piece, it was the only thing we played that night. We had prepared all year to perform this piece. When the house lights went down and the stage lights turned on and the curtain went up, there we sat, all 100 plus members of the orchestra, looking out toward an audience packed with proud moms and dads, brothers and sisters, grandmas and grandpas. And when the conductor, Mr. Bockley, raised his baton, we all put our instruments in ready position. I was on the saxophone, and when he gave that first downstroke of the baton, we didn't all start playing our own different pieces for our own personal enjoyment. We played the 1812 overture, and we played it together, and we played it for the enjoyment of the audience that sat in front of us. And every instrument was needed, from the flutes that played their trills to bring intensity and suspense, to the deep baritones that boomed out noise and notes reminiscent of bombs on a battlefield. And even the quiet portions of the piece were moving as nothing could be heard except for the sound of a distant chime. And without that sound, that one little moment, something significant would have been lost in the piece. Every instrument was needed. And as we played, each instrument followed with precision the movements of the conductor. Every note of our instruments and change in the volume matched the motions and varying levels of intensity of the conductor. And it was awesome, he says. And when the final note was played, we put down our instruments and we rose to take a bow. The audience leapt to its feet and gave us a roaring ovation that lasted 10 minutes. And brought each one of us to tears because we knew we'd worked so hard. And now it was payday. And at that moment, it was clear that it was a job well done. It's a little more lengthy illustration than I normally give, but there's so many applicable points, so many parallels to what we are as a church. Back to our text in verse 15 of 1 Corinthians 12, it says, if the foot shall say, because I'm not a hand, I'm not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? And if the ear shall say, because I'm not an eye, am I not, I'm not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? If the whole body were an eye, where were the hearing? If the whole body were hearing, where are the smelling? God has designed the body of the Lord Jesus Christ, so that when everybody recognizes their particular gift, diversity of gifts, when we recognize our particular gifts, then the body is complete. It's evidence of divine design. Think about that. When people look at a church, they should see divine design. That place works like a machine. There's such unity. There's such power in that unity. Look at what they accomplished there in that little place. So God has designed it that way, and we should not compare ourselves to others. They're different by design. Once upon a time, there was a body where the eye convinced all the other members that it needed the gift of sight. It was the only important gift, the eye said. They admitted that there were other gifts, but they ranked all of them below sight and wanted all of those in leadership positions within the church to have sight. You need sight. What's more, they could admit that sight was only the right gift for those to whom God had called to be eyes. They insisted, though, that if all of the other body parts and organs were really, really spiritual enough and beseeched God enough, they could have the gift of sight too. So they scheduled prayer meetings for the other organs and the body parts to pray for sight. They scheduled training courses on learning to see. Now, in that same body, there were some toes. They had a pretty low self-esteem. They didn't understand that God had given them the gift of balance. They didn't understand that even though they were often hidden and were never given any praise, God had called them to be participating in the vital ministry of balance. They felt guilty that their gift could not do more. They felt like they weren't spiritual enough. So they prayed and prayed and begged God that He would give them the gift of sight. And even though God knew that toes didn't need that gift, He gave it to them anyway. Do you know what they saw? The inside of a sock. They didn't need the gift of sight. If you're a toe, you don't need to be the pastor. If you're the pastor, you don't need to be the one who does all the soul winning, right? We have different gifts. We have different gifts, and your gift works in this particular place. You can plug in right right here, and God will bless your gift, and things can happen for the Lord because of your gift. Whether you're an unseen, unthanked servant exercising your gift, or whether you're one who speaks exercising your gift. Nobody can brag. All of our gifts were given to us by the Lord. There are diversity, variations of the gifts to suit our particular ministry, your particular ministry here at Corinth Baptist Church. Pastor, why are you preaching this? Well, it's not that I don't believe we do anything. I don't think we're without tasks and we're not accomplishing anything. But I don't know that everybody's plugged into the right spot. I don't know that everybody's plugged in at all. We need to work as one. It's a little church. Look around you. A couple of us grayheads die and there won't be a church anymore, right? Are you faithful? at exercising your gift for Christ here. It's how the body will be edified, and it's the reason churches grow. I talked to a man this week about coming to Corinth Baptist Church, and he says, you know, I agree with you 99% everything. I thoroughly enjoy talking to you. He said, but probably the reason we don't come there is there's not much. I knew immediately what he was talking about. Immediately. Oh, we're friendly enough, maybe. Yeah, some people are friendly. But there's not much spiritually happening here in this place. Sometimes more happens outside of these walls than happens here. Praise the Lord for the ministries he's given us, because there doesn't seem to be as much happening here as I believe there ought to be. I'm not talking about different things. I'm talking about exercising our gifts for the purpose of building the body of Christ, edifying one another. Well, what are these? What are these spiritual gifts anyway? Turn over to Romans chapter 12. Romans chapter 12. While you're turning, let me finish with the verse I skipped in chapter 12 of 1 Corinthians. You go to Romans chapter 12. 1 Corinthians 12:18 says, "But now hath God set the members, every one of them, in the body as it hath pleased him. So our unity is not based upon the common gift, but the common giver." The giver. All gifts are divinely enabled by the Holy Spirit, and the spiritual gifts are not natural talents, not natural abilities, not natural wisdom. This is something God will help you to do, allow you to do. What are the gifts? Let's go through them real quickly. Romans chapter 12, there's the gift of prophecy. We're going to look at 5 through 8, if you will, 5 through 8. There's the gift of prophecy. In the Old Testament, there were people who foretold. They foretold what was going to happen. They predicted the future, and they gave new revelation. And they also foretold, they gave old revelation, they gave it to new people. In the New Testament, there were still both of those taking place, some foretelling, but not as much, because the Word of God was being completed. The revelation would eventually be complete. The whole canon of Scripture would come together, and there was no reason for foretelling anymore. It had already been told. So now there's forthtelling, giving out the word of God. That's the ministry of a prophet. If yours is the ministry of prophecy, you'll be divinely enabled to proclaim the already revealed word of God. That's a gift. Then there's the gift of ministry. The New Testament, the word is that word we talked about in Sunday school, diakoneo. It means to serve or to help. It's not a slave like a bond slave, but it is a servant of sorts. It's used, the word is used to describe Jesus, Martha, Mary's sister, angels, Stephen, and a host of others. If your gift is the gift of ministry, you'll be spiritually empowered to live Christ before others as a servant, to wait on their needs, to help people. That's a gift. It's called the gift of ministry. You'll come alongside people and lift up their arms and help them do what they need to do. Oh, we need that gift here. That's something that you can do for the body of Christ, empowered, enabled by the Spirit of God who lives within you. You can do that. Then there's the gift of teaching. Of necessity, it involves also the gift of learning, the ability to learn. If yours is the gift of teaching, you're going to be spiritually empowered to interpret and systematize truths so that you can give them to others and help others understand clearly what the Bible has to say about life, about living, about God. Then there's the gift of exhortation. Exhortation makes its appeal to the will of an individual. To cause a person to want to do what God has commanded them to do. That's exhortation. It may be administered in a negative fashion or a positive fashion. Sometimes we push, other times we pull. Exhortation. If yours is the gift of exhortation, you'll be actively involved in sometimes pulling, sometimes pushing people in the direction that the Bible instructs them to go. Exhortation. Do we need some exhorters here? Oh, yeah. Yeah, we need lots of exhorters. Well, a few. They're not lots, right? There's the gift of giving. It's not limited to money and it's not limited to people here in our church. If yours is the gift of giving, you'll be actively involved in recognizing the needs of others. It's amazing. God will show you who needs, and you can share with them those things that God desires only to pass through your hands to that individual. It's an amazing gift. There's the gift of ruling next. The word actually means to stand before. It's like an overseer or to care for, to maintain, to superintend, to lead. That's the gift of ruling. If yours is the gift of ruling, you'll be divinely enabled to oversee some ministry, some part of the ministry of Christ, ruling. And then there's showing mercy. That's not letting people off the hook. It doesn't mean that at all. If yours is the gift of showing mercy, you will be divinely enabled to care for the poor, for the sick, for the needy, and to encourage the distressed and downhearted. That's mercy, showing mercy to individuals. Back in 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 8, there are a few more. It says, there is also the word of wisdom. For to one is given by the Spirit the word of wisdom. Wisdom is the ability to understand the word of God and the will of God and apply it to life's problems and circumstances. It's a great gift for a counselor to have. Somebody comes to you and say, can I talk to you about something? This would be a great gift. Somebody to have wisdom, how to use knowledge to point people in the right direction. William MacDonald describes the gift as the supernatural power to speak with divine insight. Whether in solving difficult problems, defending the faith, resolving conflicts, giving practical advice, or pleading one's case before hostile authorities, you need wisdom. It's a gift to some. Stephen had it in Acts chapter 6, and they were not able to resist the wisdom and the Spirit by which he spake. He had wisdom, a gift of wisdom, perhaps. If yours is the gift of wisdom, you'll possess unusual and unnatural insight as it pertains to applying biblical truth to the problems and circumstances that people have. The gift of wisdom. And then there's the gift of knowledge in the latter part of that same verse in 1 Corinthians 12, 8. To another, the word of knowledge by the same Spirit. Sounds a whole lot like the gift of teaching, but there is a difference. Both teaching and knowledge are gifts of speaking to help others to understand clearly what the Bible has to say. But knowledge generally has to do with grasping the deeper meanings of Scripture. Let me show you what I discovered here in this verse. Wow, I never would have seen that. Some people have a gift to do that, to understand the Word of God and help others to see the deep mysteries. If yours is the gift called the word of knowledge, you're divinely enabled to understand the mysteries of God and explain them to others. And then there's the gift of faith. To another, faith by the same Spirit. 1 Corinthians 12, 8. I believe it's important to understand that faith is our response to God. Faith is what we do, right? It's our believing what God says and keeping it for ourselves, guarding it in our own hearts. Everyone has to have some faith to be saved. But for some, God seems to sort of enable them to rise above doubts, to believe Him for things that are uncommon, and to pray for them and expect God to answer their prayers. If yours is the gift of faith, God has supernaturally removed the obstacle so that you could exercise your will to pray and trust Him for things that are impossible. To believe God could do this, that's a gift. There's the gift of discerning spirits. When I spoke about these things back in 2017, and I gave a little sheet to try to help everybody figure out what their gift was, about 85% of the church sent back that they had this gift. I don't think they understood. God didn't give 85% of the people this gift. Now, you may be very discerning, but we're talking about discernment as a gift. Chapter 12 of 1 Corinthians, verse 10, the latter part of the verse, says to another, discerning spirits. It's the divine enablement to discern between a teacher and an imposter, a truth and a lie. God gifts people for that. John said in 1 John 4:1, Beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits, whether they are of God, because many false prophets are gone out into the world. There are some people that pick up on these things. They're discerning. I don't think it's the majority of the church. It would be one of the lesser gifts, perhaps, in most churches. Peter said to Ananias, Why has Satan filled thine heart to lie to the Holy Ghost? Discernment. Discernment. He could tell what was going on. If yours is the gift of discernment, discerning spirits, you're divinely enabled to discern between a teacher and an imposter, between a lie and the truth. A gift of God. Empowered by the Holy Spirit. Not because you're anything, but because He is. He is. A little warning that goes with this discerning of spirits. God forbid that you judge others. You don't determine what people's motives are. That's not the gift. We have to have our conclusions objective and based upon the Word of God if we have the gift of discerning spirits. Otherwise, we're sinful. We're making ourselves judges, and we can't do that. Lastly, verse 28 of 1 Corinthians 12 is governments. Or administrations. The word's used only once in the Bible, this particular Greek word, but it's used outside of the Bible to govern a ship, to guide or steer a ship. If yours is the gift of administrations, you're divinely enabled to lead in ministries of the church effectively, to guide them, to point them in the right direction so that we'll accomplish what the Lord would have us. You see, these are very closely related. One man or three or women would not have all of the gifts. God gave the gifts to the body, not to a person. You're part of the body of Christ. If you're trusting Him for your forgiveness, you're part. God has divinely enabled you to help with this ministry. You'll need to discover your gift. You'll need to be dedicated and consecrated to the Lord. And brothers and sisters, we'll have to be dedicated to one another as well. God calls us one. We can't be divided. A divided body's dead. We have to be one, working in unison to accomplish the will of God for Corinth Baptist Church and for Corinth, Maine, and Bangor and Dover and all the surrounding area where we're privileged to minister. The gifts of God, the gifts of the Spirit of God. Again, I would pray that you'll not be a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the Word. If you don't know your gift, you ought to. You ought to, and you ought to be busy using it. But then you'll have to be a sincere follower of Jesus Christ before you'll do that. God help us. Let's pray. Father, thank you for the opportunity to be here in your house. I pray you'll bless these words, Lord, spoken from my heart. Lord, I'm humbled by these things. I pray your forgiveness for my sins. I pray, Lord, that you would use me to the greatest extent. And Lord, I know there are people here who feel just like I do, and others perhaps who don't. Lord, help us to pull together. Help us to all work in unison and with the strength that you give, exercising the gift that you give. And Lord, help us to accomplish much for your glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.